Let's start up. I want to make two haros from last time very briefly. So we were discussing the duty to mitigate and who generally has the burden to mitigate. So there are a few interesting cases that came up. So, and Yakir had the haro that maybe we should distinguish between pre and post kinyan. Remember the Shulchan Aruch brought two deos, what happens if you have malacha kveda that you'll be decently compensated for, but you don't want to do the malacha kveda? So do you have a duty to mitigate the malacha kveda, or does the poel have the right of way and say, no, it's not the kind of work I want to do, I'd rather relax, in which case he could compel the balabayas to pay him kipoel batel. So who has the right of way there, the balabayas or the poel? So Yakir pointed out that the Shulchan Aruch only quotes these two views in the post-Kinyan case, right? But maybe everybody would agree that in a pre-Kinyan case, the poel has a greater duty to mitigate. Because pre-Kinyan, he's only collecting qua damages. Post-Kinyan, he's collecting bitoras, a transfer of entitlement that now he's already entitled, he already owns the value of the contract. So I actually stumbled across this footnote in the Pesachei Choshen, where he has this reading of the tour, which I now think is outrageous. Because the text of the Torah doesn't sustain the reading.
What page is this?
It's on page 5 of the Mar Mekomo sheet. Ha'ara Yud Aleph of the Pesachei Choshen. So he says that if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, sort of as Yakir pointed out, there's no distinction between the duty to mitigate pre-Kinyan and post-Kinyan. Even though the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramaz, actually only cited post-Kinyan, he says you don't get the sense that the Shulchan Aruch himself is distinguishing. So that's a little against Yakir's diuk. If you look in the third line, it says, "Avalatur kasav im amar lo lech v'hasker atzmecha b'mesha tuchal v'ani ashlim lecha scharcha b'shir shepesakti imcha tzarech la'asoso." So he says the tour, allegedly in a pre-Kinyan case, says that if the balabayas says go mitigate, you have a duty to go mitigate. Ula halan gabe holchu po'alim, but in a post-Kinyan case, right after aschalas hamalacha, kasav atur. She'im shar ha'po'alim niskarim begimel v'hu sachran bedalid eno yachal achzor v'eno yachal lomar haskiru atzmechem kishar po'alim. He can't say go mitigate and work for somebody else. Eletzarech litein lehem kepo'al batel lefi atnai agadol shepasak imahem. Rather, you got to pay out the full amount that you stipulated to pay them. So he says that if you look in the underlying section here, Venir Lafarish, the last two lines, Kavanas Hatur, Dekivan de Ari La'achar Sheeschilu Bimlacha, Harenes Chayev Bischaran Kefisha Paslakimahem, Velachain Enu Yachal Achzar. He wants to say that there's a greater duty of the Balabayas to pay out the full value of the contract after Kinyan. But maybe pre Kinyan, then he has the right to say, oh, go mitigate by working for somebody else. So he does want to draw an important distinction here between the level of responsibility to mitigate pre and post Kinyan. Take a closer look at this footnote when you have a chance after the Chabura. The second point I wanted to make.
Do you disagree with this diak?
I disagree with the diak. Whether the text of the tour actually sustains a pre and post Kinyan distinction. If you look at the second point I wanted to make is in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Beis. So here the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if the poel could fully mitigate, the balabayas doesn't have to pay him anything. He was going to get paid from the balabayas $100, balabayas breaches, but now he could find work for the rest of the day at $100, so the balabayas doesn't have to pay a penny. But suppose, again, he could find malacha kveda, okay? But the poel doesn't want to do the malacha kveda. The poel says, I'd rather you balabayas pay me kipoel batel, right? So I'd rather you pay me less to not have to do anything than for me to have to work strenuously and make back the full amount of the damages. So does the poel have the right to say, I don't want to work strenuously, I want to just sit around and do nothing? So look what the shach here comments. So Ben, you want to read the shach for us on page...
Sorry, isn't this the machloket in the Shulchan Aruch?
Exactly right. This is the 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch.
Right, I just want to make sure.
But look what the shach here weighs in on. So Ben, you want to read it for us?
Yeah, I was just still getting it.
You see it? Oh, we get back to you, Ben. Yeah, you want to read it for us?
Sure.
Niskar im bepachlus.
Niskar im bepachlus. Mashma di'im mutzim lishtaher in sarach ha-balabai l'shalem hem kapol batel ele m'shalem hem ha-pechas.
Yeah. So let's say the polem can only find employment for less. So instead of making $100, it can only make $50, right? So they have to take the job for 50, and the Baal Bayis will make up the difference. Okay? That's intuitive. It's a partial mitigation. But then, look what he cites from the Bach in the end, the underlined section.
The Bach sifbek hatov shabrera biyata polim, sheim lo yirtzu lahaskir atzmam, nechuya Baal Bayis b'tanam hem kapol batel. Bim einam rotzim lahafzid davar yaskiru atzmam v'hu yashlam lahem.
Yeah. Basically, he's saying that the polim have the right to decide whether they want to work and mitigate or get paid less kipoel batel. This sounds like it's even in a case where the melacha is not necessarily more coveted. It's a siftes.
Mashma is the reverse. That it's...
The polim have the...
No, mashma that it's a less coveted malacha that pays less, as opposed to one that's more coveted that pays more.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, just, you're saying that's why they're be paying, getting paid less.
Right.
Or maybe if it's even the same malacha.
Right, just the odds of it being one that's more coveted is harder to...
Right. I don't think it really matters so much, truth is, about whether it's malacha kveda here. But the point is basically the Bach seems to paskin that the polim have the right of way in deciding whether they want to mitigate. So for sure they can't claim pay us the full contract for doing nothing. That we know from the Gemara. They only get kipoel batel. So suppose poel batel is $10 an hour and the alternative employment they could find is $50 an hour, but they were going to get paid $100 an hour by the employer. Right? So the poelim get to decide, according to the Bach, whether they want to get their poel batel $10 an hour or whether they want to work $50 an hour and get paid the difference of $50 from the Baal Bayis. See that? That's the Bach's Chiddush. Now...
So in fact, you don't have a duty to mitigate.
Yes. It severely limits the duty to mitigate.
Well, it's not like there's almost no duty to mitigate for the Bach.
Yeah, you could like have this... Poel batel, right? Just sounds like a huge Chiddush, right?
I mean, there's no duty to mitigate. They just can't get a windfall. They can't both work and get paid.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's really against the simple pshat of everything that you see in the Shulchan Aruch. Notice the Shach's diuk in the first line that Yair read is that the implication of the Shulchan Aruch is de'imotzim le'estaker, then ain't zarech habayis l'shalim kipoel batel, ela m'shalim ma'peches. Meaning that if they're able to find alternative employment, then the Baal Bayis has no duty to pay them kipoel batel. So the Bach kind of just reverses the whole duty to mitigate here. He thinks the polim have the upper hand in deciding whether they want to get the poel batel or to mitigate and get the higher amount. Now, Pesachei Choshen here has an interesting point. He says, Yoni, why don't you read for us the underlying section of the Pesachei Choshen? Yeah, really interesting point. I think he's totally plausible here. He's saying, look, the Bach does not make sense if you're looking at a mitzad garmi in terms of nezek. So long as they can mitigate and there is no damage. Right? So whether or not they were harmed through garmi is going to be a question of like a net end of the day, including all the possibilities of mitigation. If they're able to mitigate, there's no damage. The only time he thinks the Bach's point is plausible is when... Yoni?
Once they started working.
Exactly. Lachar kinyan, after aschalas malacha. Because then they have some fundamental entitlement to the value of the contract. And if you read the Benson piece, which we'll talk about at greater length later on, right, he's saying that's what the contract is. You already transferred the dover. You transferred the contract. You transferred the entitlement to compensation to the other party. So once the pole already is holding on to that, then he has the upper hand, and he could say, oh yeah, I'm just happy to be paid kipoel batel. I don't want to mitigate at all. So Gufa, whether he has his duty, depends on pre- and post-Kenyan, which tracks the distinction that Yakir was making on Tuesday. Right? Yakir, you see that? Yak Foreman?
Yeah, sorry, I'm feeding on me lunch while I'm listening.
No problem. But you agree that that tracks the distinction that you're making?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does Ami agree?
Ami, you agree? He says yeah.
Okay, good. Phew, we have Ami's, and we know Ami's well fed, so he's not, you know, agreeing under duress. Okay, good. That's an important distinction. Now look here again at the Nesivis, third point, third observation. Nesivis in Shin Lamed Gimel Dalid. Yakir made this ara yesterday during Seder. The Nesivis quotes the Mordechai, which is the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, that if the Poalim could mitigate with Malacha Kveda, they have a duty to do so, and they can't claim compensation until they mitigate. But the Nesivis is upset by this. He says, it seems strange to think that they have a duty to mitigate and accept Malacha Kveda in light of the Psak in Simon Shin Tes Zayin in Choshen Mishpat. Anybody get a chance to see this Nesivis other than Yakir? So it's, Yair, did you get to see it? So it's interesting, Nesivis. He says, in Simon Shin Tes Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if I rent my house to Yoni, and Yoni basically has to get out of the lease, he can't afford to keep it anymore, or whatever, he breaches for whatever reason, he's only allowed to sublet it to a third party if the third party has as many or fewer members of the household as Yoni had living in the house. So Yoni's not allowed to mitigate his losses by renting it out to a party with greater numbers than he himself had living in the house. So you see, the Nesivis thinks that's kind of analogous to Malacha Kveda. Right? Can Yoni basically say to the Baal HaBayis, look, I got to back out, but I have another family that's willing to live here. Right? So this is kind of like a mitigation through Malacha Kveda. You're working a little harder, but at least there's going to be a tenant living in the house, etc. So Achkashali, says the Nesivis in the second paragraph, De'im kein b'simen shin tes zayin b'schiras bayis de'im rotze lotzeis de'eno yachal lahaskir la'achirim kishe b'nei beso hein merubin yoser. Right, so you can't rent it out to somebody if there are more people who would be living there. Neima gam kein hachi. Why don't we say the same thing in our sugya of schiras po'alim? De'kishe rotzen lahosif b'schiras she'eno yachal letovo. That when the mitigation is through working harder for a different employer, that you can't force the poel to have to work harder to mitigate. In the same way here, that you can't force the Baal HaBayis to accept a greater number of tenants to live in the house. So any kind of mitigation is going to be has to be on the same terms as the original contract.
In the case, it's clear that they'd be paying more for the living for more.
It's not so clear. No, it's not so clear.
So it's not so obvious that it's.
Yeah, it's not. I think the question is kind of a strange question given how different the sugyas are. But I think what's interesting for us is the answer that he gives, because he could have distinguished on all sorts of grounds.
Yeah, I'm saying, even like the basic money. Yeah, the level of compensation. Look what he says.
Oh, our sugya of schiras poalim, there's no kinyan. So the liability arises under just some theory of nezek. Okay? And therefore, kishemotzin lahaskir atzman lemlacha kveda b'tosef eschar, v'yesh umdena ilu lo scharam zev v'hayim ezdamin lemlacha b'tosef eschar v'hayim askirin atzman, ein ze nechshav mazik klal upater. Since all we're interested in our sugya is whether the poel was harmed by the Baal HaBayis' breach, well then if he could find alternative employment that's reasonable for him, there just is no harm. Harm is all things considered about including the mitigation possibilities. But if you can still mitigate, there is no harm. Whereas in the tenant lease agreement in the house case, there's a real kinyan. And once there's a real kinyan, then the Baal HaBayis is entitled to be compensated. And so the point here seems to be that the duty to mitigate is greater under a theory of nezek than it is under a theory of kinyan. Which Yakir is similar again to the point that you're making last chabura. And it's quite intuitive, right? Once you're dealing with a kinyan, it seems that there's less of a duty to mitigate because you're already entitled to the compensation that the kinyan transferred to you. Whereas in a nezek theory, we're trying to assess, have you been harmed? And to assess whether you've been harmed, we have to determine what your alternative possibilities are right now. Okay, does everybody see the Nesivis' answer? Yeah, pretty interesting Nesivis, right? Yair, you have thoughts on this?
No, I just like it. I think it tracks well with other things we've been saying.
Yes, it captures, first of all, the fundamental distinction between kinyan versus nezek, but then also in terms of the application to the mitigation obligation. Okay. Yeah.
So, Nesivis say the same thing is true even after you started working.
Yeah, that's the Pesach Choshen's question here, which I think is totally right.
I think that's the other Nesivis, the one in the Korah.
So that's right.
Nesivis just thinks everything is always kind of humming in nezek.
Yeah, good. So that's Nesivis L'shitasa.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, for him, it's always mazik, and therefore, there's always a duty to mitigate based good. On Nesivis.
Yes. The Nesivis does not recognize, and you can see it from this piece, does not recognize an internal distinction between pre- and post-Kinyan within Schiras Poalim. Sounds like he's in Tosfos camp, that he thinks whatever you're collecting under Schiras Poalim is some subset of Nezikin-based damages. It's tort-based liability. Now, Pesachei Choshen here says, you can see on the top of page 7, I think he's right in this case as well. Yoni, you want to read it for us? With Dvarav Im Nasa Kinyan? Quotes in Nesivis, then he says, So he's saying two interesting points here. He's saying, firstly, the Nesivis probably would have to concede the point if our case were a case of Kinyan. Right? And secondly, he says, just the fact seems to be based off the location in Shulchan Aruch that we're dealing post-Kinyan, which is actually problematic for the Nesivis' distinction, because then both the Schiras Batim case and the Schiras Poalim cases are post-Kinyan cases. Then he has an interesting point at the end where he's saying, maybe the Nesivis actually only thinks that we're dealing in tort liability here because we're relying on Haschalas HaMalacha as a Kinyan, which we know is a Kinyan Garua. Whereas if there was a full Maisa Kinyan that was performed on this, then we'd be in real Kinyan land and there would be no distinction between the cases. So this is relevant to the Haschal HaSamalacha as a Kinyan idea, which we spoke about in earlier Chaburas. Pesachei Choshen himself wants to say in the Shulchan Aruch, Haschal HaSamalacha is a good enough Kinyan to take you out of Nezikin land into contract land. Saying the Nesivis, who doesn't think that, the Nesivis thinks all of the damages in Schiras Poalim arise under tort liability, might agree, however, if there's a full Maisa Kinyan that's performed, a Kinyan that's more concrete than just Haschal HaSamalacha as a Kinyan. Okay. Very good. Last Tara we should make here is respect to Yoni's email that he sent out yesterday. So Yoni was pointing out that last Chabura we suggested that part of the duty to mitigate stems from the fact that maybe the contract hasn't been breached, just a reassignment, a rejuggling of the actual duties that you're expected to carry out, right? But maybe there's no breach if the Balabais could say, yeah, go work for somebody else. I could force you, I have the power to tell you to work for somebody else. So I'm not considered to have breached unless you exhaust the possibilities of working elsewhere. Yoni thought that's inconsistent with the language of the Ramban that he emailed out yesterday. Did any of you have a chance to reflect on that? No? So Yoni, you want to make your case again for everyone?
Oh, sure.
Well, let's see, maybe Gabe and Yakir. Gabe and Yakir, did you have a chance to meditate on Yoni's email?
Not really.
Okay, Gabe?
But did not meditate on it.
Okay. No meditation. I was the only one who got to meditate on your email, Yoni. It's So we tell everybody, everyone's got to step up their game. All right. So Yoni, tell us your diak.
Well, the basic point is that the Ramban is quoting, he's trying to prove that there is a duty to mitigate in general. And as part of his discussion, he quotes the Tosefta, that in the Tosefta states that if you started working and the work was finished, completed in half day instead of the full day, expected full day.
Right, so the Paul finishes his work early.
Right, so if you painted the house, it's not going to take a whole day to paint the house. It turns out it only takes half a day to paint the house. So the Baal Abai can't tell the Poel to go to his neighbor's house and paint his house.
Yeah.
And likewise, the Poel can't tell the Baal Abai that he's going to work right. for the neighbor and that the Baal Abai should paint for the neighbor.
So Yoni's Rai is that that Tosefta, which the Ramban quotes, says that if I finish painting early, the Baal Abai can't say, great, now paint Yair's house.
Yeah.
Right? So the reason why I resisted that in my email was that I think the older Tosefta there is saying is that I can't withhold your payment for half the day until you go and paint Yair's house. But sure, but I am definitely obligated to pay you for the half day that you did if you don't want to go and work elsewhere. Right? So the way I read the Tosefta is that it's more just of a chiddush in terms of the right of the Poel to back out and say, oh, I'm content. I mean, in the Tosefta's case, the Ramban's saying, the Poel has the right to say, I did all the work in your house. I'm happy to call it quits and get half schar, get paid for half a day. If he wants to get a full day's salary, then of course he has to go and paint in Yair's house. So I'm saying that, Yoni, that shows that the contract still is in force, because if I hire you for a full day of work and you finish b'chatzi ayom, in order for you to get paid the full day's amount, you have to finish painting, you have to finish working in somebody else's field. You have to acquiesce to my demand that you work elsewhere. So which shows that I do have that power under the contract to say, you want to get paid for a full day's labor, work in somebody else's field. What the Tosefta is pointing out is that you have the right to say, you have the right to be chozer and say, no. I want to be chozer b'emtza hamelacha. I did my half day's labor. Give me my half day salary. Did you see that point, Yoni?
Yeah, I got your point. You didn't say yours today. And then you just think that Tosefta's talking about that is telling you that there's the clause of ability to be chozer.
Exactly. It's an application of the
right. I would argue that Tosefta's not talking about that because it's obvious.
That's right. But I think it's still an application of that idea. Even though maybe that's not the main chiddush of the Tosefta.
It's not chiddush at all then.
That's right.
There's no chiddush at all. You can only be chozer. You can be chozer.
Right, but I'm saying the Ramban citing it to say that in order for the Poel to get paid the full amount of the contract, he has to go and work on the other guy's
field. Yeah, that's clear what the Ramban's doing. No, for sure. Right. I mean, for sure, he's talking about duty to mitigate.
Right.
The question is if the duty to mitigate is a new contract or an extension / reapplication of the first one.
Right.
And I'm saying that Tosefta is clearly talking about this being a new contract.
Right. I think that Tosefta is not so dispositive. I mean, I think you could read the Tosefta my way without getting into the commitments that you're talking about.
Yeah, I got your
question. Okay, good. Not as good. Okay, so everybody, we all have to meditate on the over the weekends. Print out Yoni's email, print out my email, and then ask Ami which one he thinks is right. Can't even hear Yakir laugh because he's muted.
This is the meditation chair.
Yeah. That's right. We have the Neo Hasidic elements and Neo Hasids. Sorry. Just thinking of all the singing that we heard last Chabura. Okay, good. That's what I wanted to cover for the first, just to wrap up on the duty to mitigate. Let's now turn to the damage question.